I almost feel like Cody Rhodes here, Dave Harrigan. So, what do you want to talk about? It's kind of his move. I think we know what we're going to talk about today. Hartman Harrigan, you just heard Ari with the news. Here we go again, another VP nominee. Number two again. We're runner-up again. Minnesota sports fans know that feeling, don't they?
Just very well.
You know, Hubert, Walter Mondale, almost T-Paw, and now Tim Walz.
It's nice to be included.
I mean, we do. You know, we did have Walter Mondale, and we did have Hubert also in the race, but they finished second. Now, can you look it up for me? How many vice presidents eventually became president? I can think of a couple right away. Joe Biden and George H.W. Bush, Lyndon Johnson, Harry Truman, right? I mean, we have a list. So it is possible that Tim Walz found out today some news which will lead him to become the president of the United States at some point. That is possible. We got a lot for you today. We're
15, by the way.
15 vice presidents became president.
Yes.
Out of 46, that's impressive.
It's not bad.
You know, that's pretty good. Major Garrett, bottom of the hour. The person who was probably Governor Walz's top adversary, political adversary.
They butted heads, one could say.
Kurt Dowd, a man who has absolutely crushed Tim Walz on this show before.
I've never heard it.
Absolutely crushed him. So our guy Dowd, how is he going to be today? Will he be magnanimous? Will he be reflective?
I think he'll just be happy for the state of Minnesota.
Will he be happy for a fellow Minnesotan, or will it crush him like he has before? We had to move a couple other guests around. Chris Schaefer, this second time Chris Schaefer was going to step in for Carter.
I know.
What was the first? Why would you bump him the first time?
It was the officer funeral.
Officer funeral.
Yeah.
Okay. Rightfully so.
Officer Mitchell.
And now, because we're going Walz of Palooza, we bump Schaefer. So the next time we book Schaefer, just understand there will be major news happening.
Yes.
Okay. We're working on another guest, but then I was just needling Darusha on air because Darusha on Twitter, Darusha pointed out on Twitter, we're efforting Chris Cillizza, who I think is an excellent guest. Excellent guest. And then I said, well, we're efforting Donald Trump, Pope Francis, and Halle Berry. I didn't realize we're listing everybody we're efforting. We are efforting, though, one guest who would be very, very good today, who is going to be a huge part of the Walz debate. Okay, so that's, I'll leave it at that.
Not Halle Berry.
No, and of the three, Donald Trump, Pope Francis, and Halle Berry, I want Halle Berry on the show.
You've been efforting her much longer than the others.
Since I first saw her. Because she may be the most beautiful woman I've ever watched on television in my life. I won't acknowledge that I've been outside her house many times with a rangefinder binoculars. I'm going to deny that. Tim Walz is a what selection? Fill in the blank. Tim Walz is a blank selection. You tell me. I want to work you in right away. We made this decision to get you involved right at the start of the show. Tim Walz is a blank selection. You fill in the blank. We could have game show music. You tell me. You can call me if you want to, but I'm looking for one word. It could be PTI-like where they kind of were getting two, three words and smash them all together. Tim Walz is a blank selection. Tell me your word, 651-461-9226. Let me give you a couple here, Dave Harrigan. Joe Biden stepped away, what, 16 days ago? Is that where we're at now?
Sounds right.
Okay. If you would have told me 17 days ago that we would be talking here at 12:13 on August 6th, and we would be discussing Tim Walz is the vice presidential nominee, I would have said, are we doing an April Fool's bit on August 6th? Now, I was multiple places on Biden, but the last week I was clear. He was done. I was not clear the two or a couple weeks before because he was all over the place. But it was pretty easy to read the tea leaves. Even if I knew that, and at the time, August 6th, you're like, okay, so what's going to happen here? Harris is definitely a factor. What will Pritzker do? What will Newsom do? What will Shapiro do? Well, because they all coalesced around Harris, folks who really wanted to run didn't have a chance. So Harris quickly became the nominee, and she's raised a ton of money. And by the way, she's conducted as many press conferences as I have the last 16 days. I think it is embarrassing. Embarrassing that the vice president, who is now a presidential nominee, under extraordinary circumstances, has not sat down for a single bleeping interview. Inexcusable, indefensible. Sit down for a press conference, explain your case. And now we're about to go on the road with Tim Walz, so that's going to get pushed off again. We saw this with Joe, and by the way, I'm not saying Donald Trump is great at conducting press conferences, and most of the time it's sympathetic softball stuff. Your bar's not beating Donald Trump, okay? So again, Harris, sit down and conduct a press conference and show us you're a different candidate than 2020, when if you run to win the nomination, in this case, the nomination for the Democrats, and you don't make it to Iowa, Dave Harrigan, that's a failure, right?
It's not a strong campaign.
It's a failure.
Yes.
Absolute failure. So if she's a completely different candidate and she's so much better, show us. Answer some difficult, probing, important questions. I mean, no press conference is going to take place next week with the convention. When is she going to answer any questions? This is ridiculous. Tim Walz is a stunning selection, right? You didn't think Tim Walz. I mean, if you're going to rank all the possibilities for a Harris VP before he went on his tour, and what turned out to be a brilliantly successful tour, he was, if you ranked him and take the Minnesota out, was he maybe an eighth pick, ninth pick, tenth pick?
My word was going to be underdog. Because even as we were first hearing that they were looking at vetting him, that he was, you know, submitting his materials to be vetted for a possible candidate, if you turned on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, whatever it was, and you saw all the photos they'd put up of, you know, the people that, who might Kamala Harris pick as VP? You'd see Gretchen Whitmer, you see Josh Shapiro, you see this guy, that gal. Tim Walz didn't make that short list of photos up on the cable news channels yet.
And it was like six. So he was eight, nine, ten. So underdog, stunning. Now we know his approach, as it turned out, was an A++. He went from not really even being considered to he's the pick. So if you're thinking about something in your life right now that you really, really want, try. Don't ever give up, man. There's something in my life that I keep trying and I keep failing it.
Breaking par?
Yeah. Ball beating center of club face. Walking off golf course, not fighting off tears. I mean, I keep doing this where I play a little bit this morning. Then I don't play for like 12 days and I'm shocked I'm no better. Tim Walz is a progressive selection. Tim Walz, and we're going to watch some of the national narrative on this, that he relates to rural America. Congressman Tim Walz related to rural America. He did. I interviewed Congressman Tim Walz at this station from 09 to, let's say, 17 before he jumped in the governor's race. 20 times? No. I mean, I'm guessing four times a year. Because I'm a centrist. I'm a moderate. I want the country represented more in the middle. And he just didn't fit in the silo of, here we go, here's the lefty, here's the righty, here's Walz, who certainly was a Democrat, but he worked with the other side, and the data shows how bipartisan he was. He ran under the phrase what? One Minnesota. First debate he had, I moderated that with Blois, who again fell off the stage during that. Fell off the stage. You know me, I thought it was great. Good. I get to ask all the questions now. Then Blois literally is climbing back on the stage. I had like two, three other questions. Even Walz is looking at me like, is he okay? Okay. By the way, Tim Walz, he's a good person. I think Tim Walz is a good person. He's well left of me politically now. And he's avoided this show because he doesn't want the direct specific questions. He goes on other shows where the questions are vague and easier. Just does. Not nationally. But locally, it's he meets with the local media, the political press corps. But they've been very selective with the shows he's appearing on the last 3-4 years. Doesn't change. Well, you were with me last year. The two of us sat and talked for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a decent person. I get along well with Scott Jensen, too. We don't have to turn everybody into an awful person if you disagree with them.
Welcome to 2024, Chad. Catch up.
It's a horrible thing to contemplate. But this idea that we're going to hear that he resonates with rural Minnesota, he's a liberal. And, yeah, he crushed his two Republican opponents in this state. They weren't close. They were not close races. Crushed Jeff Johnson. Crushed Scott Jensen.
After not even getting his own party's nomination the first time.
Exactly. But he has moved further left clearly. I mean, he's moved dramatically to the left from congressman, and he's even moved further from the left from the 2022 race, and that's part of the reason why she picked him. She had a choice. She could have moved to the center and picked Josh Shapiro, who, if you've listened to this show the last couple of years, how many times have I mentioned Josh Shapiro? 50 times?
I've heard the name a couple.
100 times? I think he should be heading the ticket. That's all good. I think Josh Shapiro is a brilliant politician. And I think he works with the other side. He has a great track record as an attorney general. He gets things done in Pennsylvania. I wish 100% that he was on top of the ticket. I really do. So you can tell where I stand on Josh Shapiro. But Harris made a decision. Do I want to just energize my base? Or do I want to attempt to move to the center? And she decided to energize the base with Tim Walz. And we'll see if it works out. There's other reasons why she made that pick, and we'll get into that throughout the show. Fill in the blank or react to anything I've said so far. Tim Walz is a blank selection. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226 in less than 15 minutes. The best political observer, reporter, and analyst in Washington, D.C., Major Garrett's back on the show. I had a guess. You want to fill in the blank as if we don't have a pretty good idea of the music theme today?
I think it's fairly easy. It's all related to a ticket, Walz, Vice, all of it.
Yeah. It's a hell of a day for Tim Walz, right?
I'd feel good if I were him today.
Yeah, I'd feel great. All right, what's your word for the Tim Walz selection? What is it? 651-461-9226, or else you can react to something else. I've offered up. Major Garrett, less than 10. Steve's called in. Steve, thanks for listening. You're on CCO.
Yeah, I'm going to go with for the team. You know, I think, one, people don't realize how big a celebrity is Walz is in the Democratic community nationally. He's really worked on that over the last year or two. And, you know, he's a coach. And so I think they're going to use him, I think, in Wisconsin and Michigan. I think there's a machine politics like there is here to get out the vote in both those states. I think they're going to send his celebrity status over to those states. And the average voter might not even realize it, but in those city areas where there's a lot of votes, they're going to let Walz really keep the people happy that get out the vote.
Let me just push back a little bit, and I appreciate the call. I don't think he's a celebrity, but I think in the nearby states, which they need to win, Wisconsin and Michigan, he's known, and he will help with the base. I think we have to acknowledge, though, for the majority of the country, he's fairly unknown. Like, CNN already has a poll up, Steve, and, you know, what's your impression of Tim Walz? 71%, Steve, are saying they don't know much about him. So
yeah, I'm just saying with party insiders.
Yeah.
I'm not, but I do get their emails. And Walz, Gretchen Whitmer, they're really, you see those names a lot, soliciting funds nationally.
Yep, that's
fair.
That is fair.
Yep.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Howard is next. Howard, you're on CCO.
Hello. My word is trifecta. At the opening of the legislative session, Governor Walz and I high-fived and we said trifecta. The trifecta is going to go nationwide. And Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, in May, I saw her and I told her, you have a bright political future. Minnesota is going to have the first female Native American governor. That is huge.
Thank you, Howard. Yeah, Peggy Flanagan will be a part of this conversation soon, Dave, in the state. I don't think it'll be a lot of national conversation about it. By the way, I think both of us are willing to hang out at East Cliff. I mean, he's going to be on the road now, right?
Yeah, someone's got to take care of it.
I mean, we'll take care of East Cliff.
I'll do the lawn.
Oh, they've got people for that.
Well, if they needed me to chip in a little bit.
I guess if that's okay. If the option was we get to hang out at East Cliff and what we have to do is do the lawn.
Yeah.
And some dishes and keep it clean.
Some light cleaning.
I'm in.
I can be a caretaker.
I'm in. The trifecta is a huge part of this. Not only did he decisively defeat Scott Jensen, but because in this state, every other political word was abortion, 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 abortion. And by the way, some of it tied to the words Scott Jensen said on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to a lot of those commercials. A lot of them are Scott Jensen reacting to a question from me about abortion. They obviously barely won in the Senate, but they won, and that's how they ran the table, Dave. And if they don't run the table, if they have, let's say, they have the governor, they have the House, but they don't have the Senate, so much of this stuff does not get done. And Tim Walz is not the pick today. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Among the texts, baggage, lots of it. Well, the biggest one is going to be the George Floyd riots. And by the way, most of that criticism is just. He was late.
Mm-hmm.
He was multiple days late. And even in the first few days when it wasn't possible for him to have the National Guard ready, he wasn't as visible as he should have been. Inexcusable. I think the fraud situation is going to be another part. What's taking place? COVID? I don't know. I think they were probably going to push that on any Democrat on masks and closing schools. I don't think Walz was that out of ordinary with most Democrats. So, but George Floyd riots, Trump's going to go with, I had to step in. By the way, he's lying on that. He did not step in. Said a lot, but again, the governor, too late, multiple days too late, but he's the one who put up the National Guard. Somebody's mad at me because I favor Josh Shapiro, using the word wrong against me. Josh Shapiro favors vouchers. By the way, I'm in favor of vouchers. I'm in favor of trying different things. I'm in favor of working with Republicans. I don't think Republicans are evil, okay? And I'd love to see more candidates move to the center, because right now, if you're a centrist, good luck. Major Garrett's next. You are also hosting an anchor in the CBS Evening News this week, correct?
That is correct, and 4 days next week also. Yes.
So it is very possible. In fact, I'm going to go likely you'll hear that copy machine at the end of the newscast. That's what I'm going with. Facts.
Listen very, very closely.
Exactly. Facts be damned. If we had a conversation, and we probably did actually, the Monday after Joe Biden stepped away, and I would have said to you, Major, when the vice president wins the nomination, she is going to select Tim Walz. And I told you that the day after, not today, but the day after. I'm guessing you would have laughed. So how?
I would have said, Chad, that has as much chance of happening as her selecting Tim Pawlenty.
Yeah. Yes. Another frequent guest of the show, by the way. So how did it happen? And as I said earlier, I think this should motivate anybody who's tried and tried and tried to get something done in their life. Keep trying. Because Tim Walz dove into the deep end where people were saying, oh, he can't swim. What's he doing? Right. And then he looked like, then today, you know, he looks like Michael Spitz because he ended up winning.
Yeah. And he closed strong. Closed really, really strong. I had someone text me today. Yeah, he closed like Noah Lyles in the 100 meter. I said, that's the first time ever and the only time Tim Walz will ever be compared with Noah Lyles.
Yes, that is true.
But he leaned across the tape, you know. And look, how did he do it? Personal compatibility matters. And they got along very well in their one-on-one meeting at the Naval Observatory as this process moved down to its finality. They met when Kamala Harris, the vice president, went to a reproductive health facility in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. That went very well. It's not unknown to anyone in Democratic circles that when Democrats controlled the legislature for the first time in many years and Tim Walz was governor, what was one of the first things they did? They formalized, and under Minnesota law, access to abortion after the Dobbs decision. It's also well known among Democrats. And this issue matrix matters a great deal, not only access to abortion and reproductive health care, but both of their children, the Walz's children, IVF, don't think that doesn't matter in this broader conversation about what is and what isn't going to be a part of America's future on this pivotal issue. And for Democrats, it is highly, highly motivating. And look, you know this, the audience knows this, most of America doesn't know this. Minnesota has an incredibly diverse and vibrant economy, and anyone who is governor of Minnesota has to be able to talk turkeys, hogs, corn, soybean, sugar beets, mining, retail, tech, and healthcare. You have to know all those things.
I mean, are you applying for the Minnesota Tourism Bureau right here? I mean Dave, did he, we have him on today for an audition?
I didn't even know we talked about all those things.
Yeah.
I mean, sugar beets.
Sugar beets, yes. No, you're right. You're 100%
right. You got to know about all those things.
Yep.
And you've got to be able to plow into rural America if you're a Democrat and say, hey, I know how to shoot a gun. I'm a hunter. I do it all the time. I'm comfortable in a T-shirt and a ball cap. I taught high school geography, and I won a state football championship. That is the kind of thing that at the meta level where most Americans consume politics matters. Now, I know what the Trump campaign is going to do. They've already started it. They will try to make Tim Walz the mayor of Midwest Portland.
Yep. Okay. That's exactly right.
They will tell America he is the mayor of the Portland of the Midwest, and Portland scares you to death. And Tim Walz is responsible for all of that. And they've already done the dangerously liberal thing. They would have done that with Josh Shapiro. They would have done it with Mark Kelly. But that issue and the memories in 2020 for Republicans and particularly Trump supporters about what they perceive, what their memory tells them, was the unpunished rioters of 2020 remains a motivating issue. And Tim Walz is going to have to deal with that. Kamala Harris is going to have to deal with that because they're going to bring up no cash bail. They're going to bring up prosecutors who look the other way on violent crime or mayhem in the streets. They're going to have to deal with all that. There's plenty of rejoinders to that. I'll let them fight it out. But I guarantee you, they're going to try to portray the governor of Minnesota as the mayor of the Midwest Portland.
You are 100% right. They are going to show clips of Tim Walz late to reacting to not the protest. Let's be clear. Not the protest, but to the rioting, which was criminal. Yeah. And by the way, when people say individuals weren't arrested and weren't tried, it's just a lie. It's just an absolute lie. Hundreds were arrested and tried. But they're going to point out falsely that Donald Trump stepped in and called the National Guard, which is not true. Did he call for Tim Walz to do it? Did he brag that he did it when he's not allowed to do it? Yes. But they're going to also say that was the tipping point for lawlessness. That when I was president, Donald Trump, those 4 years, and they'll stilt the data, right, that it was safe. And you could walk out there and that Tim Walz lit the match of the lawlessness. Yep. And this is what Harris thinks of crime in our country. She brought the guy who started all this. And I'm going to step in and save you once again.
Right. And that's why all these other things about the Tim Walz biography matter and can be a rejoinder, can and will be a visual rejoinder in that regard. But this is going to get very much about 2020. And it's going to be one of the interesting parts of this campaign. How much of 2020 do we revisit? How much of it do we remember and why? And how much can you argue that that was then and this is now and this is about the future, not the past? All those things are going to be fundamental to this campaign. And as we've discussed before, the incumbency arrow has shifted in this campaign. Trump is now the incumbent.
Yeah,
he doesn't hold the title of incumbent, but he is the face of incumbency. And when you're the incumbent, and it's a bad year for incumbents, as it is universally this year across the globe, what must you do? What is the imperative of your campaign as an endangered incumbent? Make the challenger too dangerous, too risky.
Let's talk about the other individual who was not selected, Josh Shapiro. And there's a lot of reporting on this, including your own. I just want to cite a Politico story, and you know how plugged in Politico is. Couple items from a story they posted in the last couple hours. Shapiro called Harris's team and made it clear, according to this story, that he was struggling with the decision to leave his current job as governor of Pennsylvania in order to seek the vice presidency. And another part of the story suggests there was not a great feeling coming out of it regarding the meeting. And as you pointed out in your first answer, there was a great connection between Harris and Walz and their teams and not a strong connection with Shapiro. So is it possible that the vice president herself listened to Josh Shapiro and he's like, well, I don't know if I should do this, and listened to Tim Walz who said, I'm all in, and that played a part in her selection?
Right. I'm all in, and I'm not a threat, a meta threat to the rest of the party after your presidency is over.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Josh Shapiro is. Josh Shapiro has tremendous ambitions. And this is one of the great differences.
He's a star.
I would say. Pardon me? He's a star. Yes.
Yeah.
And this is one of the dividing lines in politics. Governor Walz is a late-to-life political figure. He started getting motivated when he was age 40. Why? Because he went to a Bush rally in 2004. You know the story better than most.
Yep.
Then ran in 2006, defeated Gil Gutnick, got to politics at age 42, essentially, as a candidate. Josh Shapiro's been in politics his whole life, as has Andy Beshear. His father was governor of Kentucky, okay? They are from-the-womb politicians. Huge ambition, always working on that. Tim Walz does not and will not strike the Democratic Party as a post-Kamala Harris, if she's elected, threat to succeed her. He will be well-positioned, but he might not want to. Who knows? I think that's one of the calculations for Josh Shapiro. The other thing is, Josh Shapiro would have in Chicago, if not revived, certainly created a different kind of energy and a not necessarily helpful one on the internal party divide about Israel, Gaza, and Hamas.
Okay, so let's talk about that. I am not in any way suggesting that Kamala Harris is anti-Semitic in any way. Her husband is Jewish. Her track record is clear.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
So this is not her. Let me be specific about that. But let's be honest. There have been a lot of people commenting about Josh Shapiro in contrast to Tim Walz, in contrast to Mark Kelly, when their views on Gaza, Hamas, and Israel are almost identical, except for one thing. Josh Shapiro's Jewish. Josh Shapiro has called out Bibi Netanyahu, called him one of the worst leaders of all time. But you have folks out there who are positioning against him because he's a Jew. I mean, it's just flat out the truth. What percentage? I don't know, but it's a troubling percentage. So let's play a hypothetical. If he's Josh Johnson, is he the VP nominee today?
He certainly had. Look, he was, as Ricky Bobby would say, the first loser. He came in second place.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was a serious
contender. Okay, now he's auditioning for a movie, Harrigan. My God, I didn't realize this was a LinkedIn interview.
Ricky Bobby coming up today. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And people wonder why we have him on. I mean, that's it right there.
So, he was there to the last hour, okay?
Yep.
So that is a serious part of the vetting process. And Pennsylvania, 19 electoral votes, can't draw the map of a Harris victory without it. I get all that. In the end, rapport, governing, youth matters, and biography matters. And Tim Walz has as clean a biography of all the available choices, has age, has governing, and has compatibility. All those things won out.
He has a likability to him also.
Has a likability. And the one thing I want to point out, because I think this is important, and for this audience, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. All right. There are counties in America that voted Obama, then Trump.
Yep.
They're called pivot counties. And then there are counties called boomerang counties that went Obama, Trump, Biden. Blue Earth County is one of those counties in Minnesota.
Yep.
What is the largest city in Blue Earth County? Mankato. What does Tim Walz know? Tim Walz knows Mankato. He knows Blue Earth County. He understands the politics. He understands how close Trump came to winning Minnesota in 2016. If he had, he would be the first Republican to win it since Nixon in 72. And the reversal of those political fortunes flowed through counties like Blue Earth in Minnesota and nationwide. That's another reason that sort of granular understanding of the kind of conversation Democrats have to be successful in this election that Tim Walz understands.
Dave, here's what I see tonight. Major's going to be engaging with a number of guests, and at some point he's going to say, I made this point earlier on the Chad Hartman show today.
When I was discussing Blue Earth County.
Ed O'Keefe, when I brought up Ricky Bobby on the Chad Hartman show, and then he goes, And the CBS folks are like troubled by it, but then it captivates. And all of a sudden, all across America, as people are wandering around, they're going, I mean, like Weird caught on. The copy machine is going to catch on because of tonight.
We'll see.
I've heard that from a number of women throughout my life on a regular basis. We'll see. And I know what that means. We'll see. Thank you, sir. You're the best. We'll talk soon.
All right.
On the CBS Evening News tonight at 5:30. If WCSO TV's on the air.
We'll never know.
I mean, I don't know. Biggest upset of the week. We stayed on the air and TV did it. Who saw that coming? You are also hosting and anchoring the CBS Evening News this week, correct?
That is correct, and 4 days next week also. Yes.
So it is very possible. In fact, I'm going to go likely you'll hear that copy machine at the end of the newscast. That's what I'm going with. Facts.
Listen very, very closely.
Exactly. Facts be damned. If we had a conversation, and we probably did actually, the Monday after Joe Biden stepped away. And I would have said to you, Major, when the vice president wins the nomination, she is going to select Tim Walz. And I told you that the day after, not today, but the day after. I'm guessing you would have laughed. So how?
I would have said, Chad, that has as much chance of happening as her selecting Tim Pawlenty.
Yeah. Yes. Another frequent guest of the show, by the way. So how did it happen? And as I said earlier, I think this should motivate anybody who's tried and tried and tried to get something done in their life. Keep trying. Because Tim Walz dove into the deep end where people were saying, oh, he can't swim. What's he doing? Right. And then and then today, he looks like Michael Spitz because he ended up winning.
Yeah. And he closed strong. Closed really, really strong. I had someone text me today. Yeah, he closed like Noah Lyles in the 100 meter. I said, that's the first time ever and the only time Tim Walz will ever be compared with Noah Lyles.
Yes, that is true.
But he leaned across the tape, you know. And look, how did he do it? Personal compatibility matters. And they got along very well in their one-on-one meeting at the Naval Observatory as this process moved down to its finality. They met when Kamala Harris, the vice president, went to a reproductive health facility in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. That went very well. It's not unknown to anyone in Democratic circles that when Democrats controlled the legislature for the first time in many years and Tim Walz was governor, what was one of the first things they did? They formalized, and under Minnesota law, access to abortion after the Dobbs decision. It's also well known among Democrats, and this issue matrix matters a great deal, not only access to abortion and reproductive health care, but both of their children, the Walz's children, IVF, don't think that doesn't matter in this broader conversation about what is and what isn't going to be a part of America's future on this pivotal issue. And for Democrats, it is highly, highly motivating. And look, you know this. The audience knows this. Most of America doesn't know this. Minnesota has an incredibly diverse and vibrant economy. And anyone who is governor of Minnesota has to be able to talk turkeys, hogs, corn, soybean, sugar beets, mining, retail, tech, and healthcare. You have to know all those things.
I mean, are you applying for the Minnesota Tourism Bureau right here? We having him on today for an audition?
I didn't even know we talked about all those things.
Yeah, I mean,
sugar beets.
Sugar beets, yes. No, you're right. You're 100% right.
You've got to know about all those things.
Yep.
And you've got to be able to plow into rural America if you're a Democrat and say, hey, I know how to shoot a gun. I'm a hunter. I do it all the time. I'm comfortable in a T-shirt and a ball cap. I taught high school geography, and I won a state football championship. That is the kind of thing that at the meta level where most Americans consume politics matters. Now, I know what the Trump campaign is going to do. They've already started it. They will try to make Tim Walz the mayor of Midwest Portland.
Yep. Okay. That's exactly right.
They will tell America he is the mayor of the Portland of the Midwest, and Portland scares you to death. And Tim Walz is responsible for all of that. And they've already done the dangerously liberal thing. They would have done that with Josh Shapiro. They would have done it with Mark Kelly. But that issue and the memories in 2020 for Republicans and particularly Trump supporters about what they perceive, what their memory tells them was the unpunished rioters of 2020 remains a motivating issue. And Tim Walz is going to have to deal with that. Kamala Harris is going to have to deal with that. Because they're going to bring up no cash bail. They're going to bring up prosecutors who look the other way on violent crime or mayhem in the streets. They're going to have to deal with all that. There's plenty of rejoinders to that. I'll let them fight it out. But I guarantee you, they're going to try to portray the governor of Minnesota as the mayor of the Midwest Portland.
You are 100% right. They are going to show clips of Tim Walz late to reacting to not the protest, let's be clear, not the protest, but to the rioting, which was criminal. Yeah. And by the way, when people say individuals weren't arrested and weren't tried, it's just a lie. It's just an absolute lie. Hundreds were arrested and tried. But they're going to point out falsely that Donald Trump stepped in and called the National Guard, which is not true. Did he call for Tim Walz to do it? Did he brag that he did it when he's not allowed to do it? Yes, but they're going to also say that was the tipping point for lawlessness. That when I was president, Donald Trump, those 4 years, and they'll stilt the data, right? That it was safe and you could walk out there, and that Tim Walz lit the match of the lawlessness, and this is what Harris thinks of crime in our country. She brought the guy who started all this, and I'm going to step in and save you once again.
Right. And that's why all these other things about the Tim Walz biography matter and can be a rejoinder, can and will be a visual rejoinder in that regard. But this is going to get very much about 2020. And it's going to be one of the interesting parts of this campaign. How much of 2020 do we revisit? How much of it do we remember and why? And how much can you argue that that was then and this is now and this is about the future, not the past? All those things are going to be fundamental to this campaign. And as we've discussed before, the incumbency arrow has shifted in this campaign. Trump is now the incumbent.
Yeah.
He doesn't hold the title of incumbent, but he is the face of incumbency. And when you're the incumbent, and it's a bad year for incumbents, as it is universally this year across the globe, what must you do? What is the imperative of your campaign as an endangered incumbent? Make the challenger too dangerous, too risky.
Let's talk about the other individual who was not selected, Josh Shapiro. And there's a lot of reporting on this, including your own. I just want to cite a Politico story, and you know how plugged in Politico is. Couple items from a story they posted in the last couple hours. Shapiro called Harris's team and made it clear, according to this story, that he was struggling with the decision to leave his current job as governor of Pennsylvania in order to seek the vice presidency. And another part of the story suggests there was not a great feeling coming out of it regarding the meeting. And as you pointed out in your first answer, there was a great connection between Harris and Walz and their teams, and not a strong connection with Shapiro. So is it possible that the vice president herself listened to Josh Shapiro and he's like, well, I don't know if I should do this, and listened to Tim Walz, who said, I'm all in, and that played a part in her selection?
Right. I'm all in, and I'm not a threat, a meta threat to the rest of the party after your presidency is over.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Josh Shapiro is. Josh Shapiro has tremendous ambitions. And this is one of the great differences.
He's a star.
I would say. Pardon me? He's a star. Yes.
Yeah.
And this is one of the dividing lines in politics. Governor Walz is a late-to-life political figure. He started getting motivated when he was age 40. Why? Because he went to a Bush rally in 2004. You know the story better than most.
Yep.
Then ran in 2006, defeated Gil Gutnick. Got to politics at age 42, essentially, as a candidate. Josh Shapiro's been in politics his whole life, as has Andy Beshear. His father was governor of Kentucky, okay? They are from-the-womb politicians. Huge ambition, always working on that. Tim Walz does not and will not strike the Democratic Party as a post-Kamala Harris, if she's elected, threat to succeed her. He will be well-positioned, but he might not want to. Who knows? I think that's one of the calculations for Josh Shapiro. The other thing is, Josh Shapiro would have, in Chicago, if not revived, certainly created a different kind of energy and a not necessarily helpful one on the internal party divide about Israel, Gaza, and Hamas.
Okay, so let's talk about that. I am not in any way suggesting that Kamala Harris is anti-Semitic in any way. Her husband is Jewish. Her track record is clear.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
So this is not her. Let me be specific about that. But let's be honest. There have been a lot of people commenting about Josh Shapiro in contrast to Tim Walz, in contrast to Mark Kelly, when their views on Gaza, Hamas, and Israel are almost identical, except for one thing. Josh Shapiro's Jewish. Josh Shapiro has called out Bibi Netanyahu, called him one of the worst leaders of all time. But you have folks out there who are positioning against him because he's a Jew. I mean, it's just flat out the truth. What percentage? I don't know, but it's a troubling percentage. So let's play a hypothetical. If he's Josh Johnson, is he the VP nominee today?
He certainly had. Look, he was, as Ricky Bobby would say, the first loser. He came in second place.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was a serious
contender. Okay, now he's auditioning for a movie, Harrigan. My God, I didn't realize this was a LinkedIn interview.
Ricky Bobby coming up today. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And people wonder why we have him on. I mean, that's it right there.
So, I mean, he was there to the last hour, okay?
Yep.
So that is a serious part of the vetting process. And Pennsylvania, 19 electoral votes, can't draw the map of a Harris victory without it. I get all that. In the end, rapport, governing, youth matters, and biography matters. And Tim Walz has as clean a biography of all the available choices, has age, has governing, and has compatibility. All those things won out.
He has a likability to him also.
As a likability. And the one thing I want to point out, because I think this is important, and for this audience, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. All right. There are counties in America that voted Obama, then Trump.
Yep.
They're called pivot counties. And then there are counties called boomerang counties that went Obama, Trump, Biden. Blue Earth County is one of those counties in Minnesota.
Yep.
What is the largest city in Blue Earth County? Mankato. What does Tim Walz know? Tim Walz knows Mankato. He knows Blue Earth County. He understands the politics. He understands how close Trump came to winning Minnesota in 2016. If he had, he would be the first Republican to win it since Nixon in 72. And the reversal of those political fortunes flowed through counties like Blue Earth in Minnesota and nationwide. That's another reason that sort of granular understanding of the kind of conversation Democrats have to be successful in this election that Tim Walz understands.
Dave, here's what I see tonight. Major's going to be engaging with a number of guests, and at some point he's going to say, I made this point earlier on the Chad Hartman show today.
When I was discussing Blue Earth County.
Ed O'Keefe, when I brought up Ricky Bobby on the Chad Hartman show, and then he goes, And like the CBS folks are like troubled by it, but then it captivates. And also all across America, as people are wandering around, they're going, I mean, like weird caught on. The copy machine is going to catch on because of tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see.
I've heard that from a number of women throughout my life on a regular basis. We'll see. And I know what that means. We'll see. Thank you, sir. You're the best. We'll talk soon.
All right.
On the CBS Evening News tonight at 5:30. If WCCO TV's on the air.
We'll never know.
I mean, I don't know. Biggest upset of the week. We stayed on the air and TV did it. Who saw that coming?